God formed us. Sin deformed us. And only by the power of Jesus Christ can He transform us. So we're spending a lot of time this morning and about God forming us, and we're going to spend some time tonight about sin, talking about sin. But it'll continue throughout the next few nights, focusing primarily on the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Our text for tonight is from Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 7. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent said. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our salvation and Redeemer. Amen. The byword is revival. What do you expect? Revival. What do you expect? I hope that you've been praying for this time that we're spending together. I too believe in the power of prayer. The story's been told of two families in a church. Both families had pet parrots. One was a female parrot, and that family considered their parrot to be somewhat unspiritual. She would sit there on her perch, and all she would ever say was, "Let's kiss. Let's kiss." The other family in the church had a male parrot. And they considered their parrot to be somewhat spiritual. But all he ever said was, "Let us pray. Let us pray." Well, one day the two families got together and they decided that they would get their two parrots together. And maybe they would be a good influence on one another, and they would expand their conversation possibilities. So they put them in the same cage, side by side, on the same perch. The female parrot looked at the male parrot and said, "Let's kiss. Let's kiss. To which the male parrot answered, "Glory to God, my prayers have been answered." I believe in the power of prayer. And I trust that we'll continue to pray powerfully for this time together in God's Word. Theology has gone through a number of phases down through the years. Generationally, I think we all have experienced things in our culture in many different ways. I started to ask if there was anybody here that remembered the Roaring Twenties. But that's going back a little bit. I remember the fabulous 50s and the swinging 60s. I was around when hippies came on the scene. In the late 70s, there was a book written by Dr. Carl Menninger. It's a book that was on every pastor's bookshelf, and it was entitled, "Whatever Became of Sin?" Whatever became of sin? Menninger is a medical doctor, and he's founder of the Menninger Clinic, and he practiced, I guess, what we might call holistic medicine. He was very interested in the fact or the part that sin plays in our lives and how it contributes to so many of our medical issues. In the 70s, he felt that theologians and the Christian church in general was not expressing the powerful impact that sin plays in our physical well-being. In his book, he states, "Sin was a word which was used by all the prophets. It was once in everyone's mind when it came to our theology, but now," he says, "rarely is it ever talked about." Does it mean that sin is not involved in all of our troubles? Is no one any longer guilty of anything? Where indeed did sin go? So the question for us tonight is, whatever became of sin? We talked this morning about the fact that God has formed us, and in that process, He has created within each one of us free will. We get to choose how we are going to live our lives. It's a gift. It can also be a curse. Within God's creation, because of sin, our lives begin with a need for salvation. In the creation of the world, God brought forth form and order out of chaos. He created paradise and placed Adam and Eve in it. And you know the story, and you know it well. That serpent convinced Eve that it would be okay if she ate of the fruit. And from that time on, we have sin in the world. And we have sin in our lives. The serpent was Satan in disguise. At one time, Satan had been a glorious angel. But in pride, he rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. And from that day to this, Satan has been at work in the world, always trying to tempt everyone from God. Later on in this chapter, God promises that Satan will be crushed by one of Adam and Eve's offspring, and that is the Messiah, the Son of God. Temptation is Satan's invitation to give into his kind of life and to give up on God's kind of life. It's a battle. It's a battle between good and evil. And Satan has been busy since paradise was found. And Satan has been busy since paradise was lost. Satan even tempted Jesus, but we'll talk about that a little later in the week. I don't know about you, but I always wonder how Eve could have been so gullible. How could Eve resisted temptation? I think that if she would follow the same guidelines that we must follow today, perhaps she could have. First, we must realize that being tempted is not a sin. It's a fact of life. We have not sinned until we give in to temptation. We need to resist temptation, and we must pray for the strength to resist temptation. We must run at times. We must literally run away from temptation. We must say no. When confronted with what we know is wrong, we must say no. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to do that which is right. The serpent did not force Eve to eat the fruit. It was through the distortion of God's word that the serpent's work was accomplished. By his words, the serpent was able to change the course of history. Adam and Eve were diverted from their creative purpose as well from their freedom in their attempt to make themselves equal to God. The innocence of their relationship with God ended with the knowledge of their nakedness. Adam and Eve were now capable of knowing shame and fear. God formed us, sin deformed us. And sin is still alive and well and working in the world in which we live today. Satan is alive and well and working in the world in which we live today. Look at all of the places where there is turmoil and trouble and chaos. And Satan is there. Sin is doing very well in the world in which we live today. In our nation and throughout the world. I think old Satan must sit back and laugh every day at how gullible these descendants of Adam and Eve have become in the living of our lives. Because Satan has done a wonderful job convincing us, just like he did Adam and Eve, convincing us that we can do what we want and that there'll be no consequences. The question for the night is, whatever became a sin? And the answer is, it is still alive and it is still well and working in the world in which we live. We as a Christian nation have been steadily looking for ways down through the years to reduce the impact that we think sin has on our lives. You as a church are to be commended for the simple fact that you are willing to hold a revival, a time set aside, a time set apart to revive, to fan the flame, to reignite the burning desire that you have to walk closer with God, to have God's will become your will. Oh, I firmly believe that the day original sin became a reality in the life of Adam and Eve, when they hid themselves from God because they were ashamed, at that moment God planted a need deep down inside of every human heart, a need, a longing for Him, an insatiable desire to return to paradise and to be in communion with Him. My wife tells me that country songs have the the best messages. She says that they're the best vehicle for getting to the heart of the matter. I'm going to write a song. I think it'll probably sort of be a country song. I might need some help. I don't know the tune yet. I don't know all the words, but I do know the title. There's a hole in my soul when God's not in control. Whatever became of sin? There's a hole in our soul when God's not in control. You know that's the truth. Because you're here tonight. Because you want your spirit. You want your total being. You want your soul filled with God. And when God is absent from your heart, when God is absent from your life, something's missing. There's a hole in your soul that nothing, nothing, nothing can fill but God. We are told that the question that John Wesley would ask those who were gathered for his Holy Club meeting was, "How is it with your soul?" Imagine the impact that would have on the church. Every time we came to church, Jerry stood before you and he asked you one-on-one, individually, "How is it with your soul?" Tonight, we gather together. We have praised and we have worshiped God. Tonight, perhaps Wesley's question should become our question. How is it tonight with your soul? God has formed us. And sin historically has deformed us. And if we look within ourselves and we find that something is missing, then let's repent of our sin and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to transform our lives. Do you believe that God has formed you? If you do, nod your head and say yes. If you understand deep in your heart that sin is at work in the world and sin deforms us, and that sin can even leave a hole in our souls, shake your head, nod your head, say yes. If you know deep in your being, totally mind, body, and spirit, that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can transform your life, nod your head. Say yes. Thanks be to God. And hallelujah. If you can't say yes to these three questions, then it's time for revival. In your life, in your soul, if you can't say yes to those three questions, then it's time for revival. It's time to search your heart for the answers. It's time to look to God and to search for ways to believe and to repent and to fill your soul with the promises of God that only come through Jesus Christ, His Son. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is 354. Please stand as we sing, and I would remind you, and I'll ask Jerry to come and stand at the chancel rail, and if you'd like to come and have a time of prayer and meditation, please do so.